Don't think for a minute that he don't. God holds us responsible for the decisions that we make. If you go down here and build your house right on the banks of the river, don't build it and then think you can pray that the floods won't come. God will hold you responsible for the decisions that you make. And when we choose our leaders, brethren, we're not to look for them that are so wise in natural things, but to those that will be led of God.
Yeah.
If you want freedom, it's going to cost something. Yeah. There's going to be trouble.
Yeah,
there's going to be trouble.
Them,
from the very time that this nation was started. Many of them, brethren, Now I ain't no wise man as far as that, but there's things that are plain before eyes, brethren. When they established this country, they established that freedom for all men are created equal, and yet they enslave some of them. They compromise with the devil, brethren. If we compromise with the devil, we're going to pay the price. One of these days, about less than 100 years later, there was a great civil war. And thousands upon thousands died in this nation. I believe that the scripture that I wanted to read here, it's relevant to the times that we live in today. It's found in the book of Isaiah in the 30th chapter and the 20th verse. It says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it." And it's not hid. It's not hid. "And when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, and ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images, and silver and ornaments, and molten images of gold, thou shalt cast them away as a mistress cloth. Thou shalt not say unto thee, thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence." So, brethren, we need to cast this filth away from us, brethren, and walk in a way that God would have us to walk.
Amen.
And you notice when he's speaking here, he said, "Turn ye." Now, brethren, they were turned away from God. Their thoughts were not of God, but they were turned away from God because they heard a voice behind them saying, "This is the way. This is the way." That's how we were. We had turned our thoughts away from God.
Yeah, buddy.
But
most of us have.
I'm so glad for that first line that they shall. Brethren, that means something to me. When God says something shall be, it shall be. Brethren, it's not if or anything like that. It shall happen, brother. And we shall hear that voice.
Yeah.
We shall hear that voice.
Every man will hear
that
voice.
That's the promise. That's the promise. We shall. And when God says something shall be, why, it's going to come to pass.
Sure it is.
Now, we as preachers, why, I wish that I had more intelligence, natural intelligence. Maybe I could make a few more points. I want to be the best preacher that God ever called and set upon this earth, brethren. I know that I'll probably never attain to that, but it should be our desire that we be the most effective preachers that God ever called. Well, if you're not, you sure ain't going to be the most effective that God ever called. Brethren, they look at our life as much as they listen to our words. Don't think they don't. They'll watch our lives. Hey, it'll, it'll, It'll speak louder than our words, because I've been so frustrated at times that God would call me and have me to preach a sermon, and seem like it just went right on in one ear and out the other. I wanted them to hear the message. I don't care about the messenger. I would just as soon be invisible here, but I can't be. We have to walk before them in a way that they would see there's truth in what we say. They were living what we say. If we don't, we're very ineffective. And there's something you said there earlier. The Spirit won't dwell in an unclean temple. Now it doesn't say that in this book in those words, but it says it in theory, doesn't it? It says it in theory, but I believe there's a reason that it doesn't say it in those exact words. Why? We might look too much to the flesh.
Greater is He in you.
But we're just sinners saved by grace. We're sinners saved by grace. But we're to strive to walk in a way that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven in the day of their visitation. God will visit them, brethren.
Yes, sir.
Can we influence them enough that when He does, why, they would want to make that good choice?
We can't influence people. We're wasting our time here,
brother. I remember when I was a child, why, the church houses would be full on Sunday. We'd go to church, and many of the old men, they'd have on their bibbed overalls and their white shirts, but they would sing praises unto God, and they would testify to the goodness of God, and those things they followed me all the days of my life. I want you to know that. I'll never forget some of the old brothers and old sisters that treated me. That treated me with kindness when I was a child. And I realized they had something that I didn't have. But I wanted it.
Yeah.
I wanted it.
I sure did too.
And I believe that when I was overseas for 2 years, in danger, in great danger, but
yeah.
I knew there was somebody back home
praying
for me. I knew they was praying for me. I felt like that God heard their prayers, and
yes,
he brought me back home. He didn't have to do that.
Right.
He didn't have to do that, but He showed mercy on me.
Praise.
If He'd have took me then, I wouldn't have been ready, Brother Junior.
That's right.
But the long suffering of God is salvation to usward.
Yes.
Why we wonder sometimes why God doesn't just immediately punish someone when they do something wrong. But if he did that, brethren, why, we probably wouldn't have lasted long enough to find salvation, would we? But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should be lost, but that all should come unto repentance and live. That is God's will for you, that you find salvation while you're here upon this earth. If you don't find it in this time world, you sure won't find it when you get to the judgment bar.
Amen, brother. You know, repentance after
death. There ain't going to be.
Oh,
no,
sure.
We find that Adam was there in the garden, and there was a tree in the garden that God had told him not to eat of. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam ate of that tree. And God put him from the garden.
Least
he'd take a hold of the tree of life and eat of it and live forever. Now it wasn't that God, I didn't want him to live forever, but God cannot tolerate sin. There must be a penalty for sin. He told Adam, the day that you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. I believe there was something that died there.
He broke
that
the
day.
Law, brother.
There was something that died in Adam there that day. But God placed him from the garden. And he put the flaming sword and the cherubims that turned every way.
Every way.
Every way. What, to keep the tree of life? No, to keep the way of the tree of life. You'll have to come through that flaming sword. If you ever that a same tree of life that we find there in the book of Genesis, we find over in the book of Revelation, and stand on either side of the river. That's the river of life, I believe. Between life and death. If we don't eat of it on this side of the river, we'll never eat of it on the other side. There's no repentance after death.
Get salvation.
You'll have to come through that flaming sword. That's the preaching of the gospel. I remember, Brother Fred, how that the gospel used to cut me like a knife.
Yes, it did, Brother Ronnie.
Even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit.
Yeah.
Now, that's more than my mind can comprehend. What is the difference in the soul and the spirit? But the gospel, it'll separate it, won't it? It'll separate it, the gospel will. It cut like a knife. And I used to hold on to the back of the seat and a big lump would come up in my throat. I knew. That there was something. There was power in that word, brother. There was power in it. And that preacher never laid a hand on me. But boy, I was hurting.
Yes, sir. You cut me, Daddy.
If it don't cut you, then it probably ain't doing you no good.
That's good.
For them that he loves, he'll chasten, won't he?
Yes, he will, brother.
How does he chasten? I believe the gospel shows us what we are by nature.
Yeah, buddy, what we must be.
And what we must be by grace. And we are to repent. And that is the message of all I heard this morning. Repent, every one of you, for the day is coming that there'll be no more repentance. After death, it'll be too late. When God calls you up, it'll be too late to repent. Repentance will stay with me every day of my life until I leave this world.
Yeah.
But on the other side, repentance will be left behind. It'll be left behind. I won't need it anymore. I'll be made perfect, like you said, like Jesus, most glorified body. I'll be made perfect. We can't go to heaven in this body here. No more than Adam could stay in that garden. He had to be put out of the garden. He had failed, and he had to be put out of the garden. God will not tolerate sin. Every sin and every disobedience must receive the just recompense of reward. What is the penalty for sin? Why, it's death, isn't it? I don't care how good you are. You're going to die.
Absolutely.
You're going to die. Because we had inherited a trait from Adam, didn't we? That fallen nature. Even a little baby that dies, it's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ to save it.
And it's good.
But he died. He died for them too. Don't think he didn't. If he didn't, why, they would just be gone forever. But
there was no law there.
That's right. For there was no law, there was no transgression. I was alive without the law once, said Paul, but sin revived, and I died.
Yeah.
But there's along with that knowledge, there comes a calling.